I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Just you and me tonight. It's very nice. It's actually a date night for us,
yes,
folks.
And we're having, it's actually Couples Cocktail Podcast.
Couples Cocktail Podcast. We decided to add a little cocktail to tonight's episode. And this is a little bit of a lengthier discussion that we had on Fox 5, The Lion Lunch, about celebrity marriages, mm-hmm. particularly about Taylor Swift and
Travis Kelce.
Thank you. Yes. I forgot his first name there for a moment, which is not good since I'm a football fan. And so we're talking a little bit about that. And I think, again, I think the place to start, mm-hmm. right, is with the numbers and the numbers that we mentioned. Well, and it's worth mentioning again, is that 50% of all marriages in this country end in divorce.
Yeah. Half, right?
Half. Oof. So, and those numbers change, go up, go down, depending mm-hmm. on various factors. Mm-hmm. But one thing that definitely adversely affects the ability to stay together and stay married is when two people are celebrities, or mm-hmm. at least one of them is a celebrity.
Yeah. And you said that rate was 80%?
Although there's not real specific studies. There are folks that have gone through over the mm-hmm. years, celebrities, mm-hmm. marriages, weddings, and so forth. So generally speaking, the divorce rate amongst celebrities, where at least one of the two partners is a celebrity, mm-hmm. is 80%.
That's really
80%.
Really
now, of course,
high.
J-Lo probably has 70 of.
Yeah, that's true. She's upping the ante there.
But pushing her out.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk a little bit about why mm-hmm. you think, and you're a therapist, mm-hmm. why you think that there's such a higher rate for celebrities.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of factors. I mean, of course, we always talk about opportunity. So celebrities are out, they're traveling more. They have more financial means to be able to, you know, stay in hotel, meet with people, do fun stuff, which I think creates more opportunity. And I also think that there's a lot of, if you're a celebrity, there's some ego that goes into it, sort of like you get built up and then you kind of expect and look for that. And if you kind of get used to something, you want more of it. The human brain is very interesting. So it's like video games, right? Like people play video games and then they want more and more and more. It's sort of like an addiction. And I think although I've never experienced this myself, when there's attention given, stroking your ego, it's sort of like something that you're seeking a lot. And I think you need almost more and more of it. And I think celebrities probably fall into that category.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, again, we're not celebrities, so we're hypothesizing, but I think it's mm-hmm. a reasonable assumption to make based on what we've read and what we've seen. Yeah. We've been talking about this for the last week or 10 days, you and me. And I think that when you're surrounded by people who tell you mm-hmm. how great you are,
yeah,
and how good you are, that when you're in a relationship and maybe you did something that wasn't so good,
yeah,
and somebody calls you on it, that may not go all that well, right?
Right. No, that's true. When you're used to being like the star,
yeah,
and then you're at home and you throw your socks on the floor and you're not the star anymore, that has to feel like even worse in some ways.
Yeah, no question yeah. about it. And again, I think in a situation, we watched the Billy Joel documentary recently.
Yes.
And what I was really taken by during that show, although a lot of it was very interesting and I like Billy Joel and I was around when he was with Christie Brinkley and all the rest of it, but I didn't really, really grasp, put my hands around how they felt about each other. And these are two people that were really in the public eye. She certainly was. And he was, you know, 10 times over. And there was a lot of discussion about her wanting, after they'd gotten over that sort of honeymoon mm-hmm. phase and they had a child together, mm-hmm. how she wanted to sort of have this home base. Mm-hmm. And he was still out and traveling and about. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for both of them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a great example. And even, I mean, in Billy Joel's situation, he truly loved many of the women that he was married to. And things just got in the way. Some of it was addiction. Some of it was, you know.
Well, but I think with Christy Brinkley, what we saw, and again, this is only what we saw, and this is just one example, right, obviously, about what we're talking about, was that one partner wanted to have a home space mm-hmm. that was out of the public eye. Yeah. Now, in those days, folks were talking about the 1980s, 1990s. Mm-hmm. There was no social media. There wasn't, you know, we didn't all have cameras in our hands 24 hours a day.
Thank God, because honestly, yeah. I would have been in a lot of trouble if there was cameras in the 80s. I'm just thinking about my
You're
wild
getting a little trouble now,
right? My wild high school years, and I'm really glad that there was no cameras.
We need to talk more about the wild high school
That's
years.
Another
we'll save
podcast.
That for another episode.
That's
and,
another
and
podcast.
And I'll probably have to sit down and have a bigger drink for that. Yes. But yeah, I mean, there weren't all these cameras. You know, there's a talk about being around paparazzi and people snapping photos, and certainly that's there today. But in addition to that, everybody is mm-hmm. a paparazzi. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the street in whatever city you live in, you know, if you live in New York, you live in LA, mm-hmm. right? Where celebrities walk around, you know, it's not hard to snap a picture or take a video.
Yep, that's very true. Yeah. So in terms of like talking about what celebrities can do, you know, to sort of prevent the stats getting them. We sort of talked about, you know, making sure you carve out some time to not be in the public eye, making sure that, you know, you're taking maybe, you know, hopefully vacations in, you know, rural places, or really making sure that people that are around you are not snapping photos. So sort of segregating a little private time.
I think you have to keep your relationship to some degree out of the spotlight. Now, it's one thing, you know, you put up pictures about when you got engaged, or you put up, or you see you on the field, the Chiefs football game, or whatever it is. Yeah. But there's got to be this space and boundaries. We talk about boundaries. Yeah. These boundaries where you say, okay, this is us. This is not for everybody else.
Hey, that should be a show.
This is us. Yeah.
That was
very funny.
Yeah. So, and I think that Taylor and Travis did that when he set up the engagement situation. He decorated a garden. I think it was actually in his yard, but I'm not 100% sure. And it was just them. And of course there was people taking pictures, but it wasn't a public engagement. It wasn't at a concert, him coming out on stage, or at the end of a football game, or, you know, something like that. And I find that to be, a good thing that they did, because they're very public. You know, people want just so much more from them that they could have done it very publicly, but they chose to do it privately. And I think that that's a healthy sign.
And but what about the fact that they put up all these pictures of him asking her to marry him? You don't think that that's a problem?
I think it's okay, because it wasn't like everybody was there. They probably had one or two people just taking some photos.
Yeah, somebody was there, obviously.
Somebody was there. But I think, you know, they are celebrities. People, you know, are interested in that. And so I think they probably had one or two people there taking some photos. But it sounds like it was a private moment.
Yeah, I mean, let me say this to you, okay? Everybody takes pictures of this now.
Oh, yeah.
So they're no different. So, you know, someone said to us in a message, I think recently, because they saw us on TV, you know, well, they put all these pictures up and they're getting engaged. Well, guess what? Everybody does.
Yes.
We have a video of our daughter getting engaged. People post that stuff.
And we went right. Yeah. Our daughter got engaged recently on the beach, and we sort of, you know, were from afar taking a video. Yeah. And we have a video, and then we went, you know, over afterwards and took pictures. And I think everybody sort of, like, you know, has these pictures.
Yeah, I think, you know, so it's not really fair. In some ways, it's almost the flip side, right? It's not really fair to say to them, oh, you shouldn't do it, which is what some folks said
to
us.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that, because that was private. But it's okay for those same people to take pictures at graduation and birthdays and when their kids get engaged or get married. And that's, you know, I don't think that's fair either.
Yeah. I think every event is now on steroids. I mean, the baby reveals, the promposals, everything has gotten so big. Like, so we got engaged on 4th of July with a hot dog.
A ring and a hot dog.
A ring and a hot dog.
It was a good hot dog, too, by the way.
I was at David's parents' house, and they said, what do you want, a hamburger or hot dog? Luckily, I picked a hot dog.
Well, I knew you wanted a hot dog because you like hot dogs.
I love hot dogs. And they brought out the ring, and it was in the hot dog. We don't have any pictures of that. No. I mean, your parents were there. We celebrated. I probably called my parents' landline to tell them I got engaged, and that was it. But you know,
it wasn't it. We went downstairs a little later and, you know, sort of celebrated just between the shows. You don't remember. I remember that part. She does.
I just remember really liking my ring. So you did a good job on the ring.
Yeah.
So everything is bigger now. Everything is pictures and videos and a big deal.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, in some ways, people look at celebrities and they say, oh gosh, they're always in front of us. We got to see this. We got to see that. Mm-hmm. Other people thrive on that and want to know, like you talked about. But I don't, for the people who say, you know, it's too much, you know, I say to them, that's kind of, you know, our society today. Mm-hmm. It's not just celebrities. Everyone can be a photographer. Mm-hmm. Everyone can be a videographer. Yep. And I think that when we were on Fox, and I keep bringing that up, but Marissa mentioned, the host of the show said, you know, everybody's a celebrity.
Yes.
And everyone is a celebrity. We were at a baseball game last week, and I was sitting across the aisle from this guy, and he was with his friends, and he kept taking pictures of himself. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of the Orioles-Dodgers game, for those of you who wonder, you know, Shohei Ohtani was getting ready to hit, and this guy's taking videos and pictures of himself. Yep. And I thought it was, you know, a little obnoxious, but then I thought about it, like, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, I mean, people take selfies. Yeah. So anyway, what else can celebrity couples do to help preserve that statistic, to help preserve their relationship?
You mean not be part of that statistic?
Not be part of, yes.
I think one of the things they should do is take a lesson from other successful relationships. I'd like to put us in that bucket.
Yes.
Which is to synchronize their schedules to a certain degree. In other words, you know, you're both working. Now, I don't suggest that our schedule is similar to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
I am not singing at concert.
You don't want to be singing, and folks, you don't want to hear her. But I'm not suggesting that it's the same.
Yeah.
However, I am suggesting that the solution is the same, which is, okay, I'm going to be on tour from here to there, and you're on playing football, but this weekend you've got to buy.
Right.
So let's, how about you meet me in Chicago for 3 days, and let's not go in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's try to find our way around quietly if we can. And I think setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about this and making, carving out time together. Mm-hmm. I think it's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that I think would be helpful, and you know, this, I think we have this in our relationship is being very open about, like, if somebody, you know, like came on to you or came on to me, I would tell you about it.
Well, it happens to you all the time.
I think communicating about it, talking about it. And then, like, you know, like if you wanted to look at my phone, you have my password. I have your password. Yeah. Like I mean, at any point in time, I can go and look at your messages. Yes. I can look at your pictures. And I think that with celebrity relationships, that might even be more of an important piece is like having very open communication and being very open about if something happens.
That's a great point, because not only looking at their own phones, but looking at what they see.
Yes.
You know, so here's a picture. Let's drop ourselves in instead of somebody else. Here's a picture of me, you know, in a group of women, you know, they're all got their arms around me.
Yeah.
That could upset you if we haven't seen each other for a week or two or any circumstance. So rather than not saying anything, your answer to that is
say something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do that. You do that in a joking way. Like, oh, we recently had, we were looking for a new front door, and this guy came over that was kind of cute. Uh-huh. And David was like, oh, are you going with the door guy? And, you know, he was like making a joke about it, but it was like a joke, but you wanted to talk about it. Obviously you were like,
well, you had the fluttering eyes.
He's cute.
You had a lot of smiling.
He's cute. Hey, you bought the door.
I did buy the door, but it had nothing to do with what he looked like. I bought the door because I thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, you did. You had that sort of flirty thing going.
Yeah.
And you do that a lot, but that's who you are.
Yeah.
this was a circumstance where this person was in our house and she was batting those beautiful eyelashes and she looked good. And I'm sitting over there, you know, I got a baseball hat pulled down to the side. I'm sweaty.
You were feeling insecure?
Well, my beard was uncut. You know,
I've been sleeping so good.
I've been sleeping. I smelled like, you know, not very good. And,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know shit about doors, by the way. And this guy was talking all about steel doors and steel doors and wood doors,
hardware and hinges.
A lot of hinging.
Doorknobs.
But you were good about, you were honest about it. You said, yeah, he's a good looking guy, but you know, you're better looking. You're cuter.
And he was too young for me anyway. I'm staying in my lane.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that.
I'm staying in my lane.
Okay, but you know, it's like after we came back from, and here I go again. I don't mean to keep bringing this up. That I'm so happy that we hosted an episode on Lion Lunch, which we're going to do again relatively soon. But you were very kind. When you said, oh, you looked really nice. We watched the playback and you go, oh my gosh, you look really good.
Yeah. And sometimes it's nice to see your partner from afar.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting right next to you, the whole time we were on. But when I got to watch it, I was like, oh my God, you're so cute.
Yeah.
And we also just came off of a funny compliment, which I'd love to mention, which is I was in the hair salon and somebody came over to me and said, your husband's hot. And I'm a lesbian, so that's saying a lot. And I thought that was really cute too. So you've had a good week.
I've definitely had a good week. But I do think the moral of that particular story is the whole familiarity.
The lesbian hot thing?
No, I like that. But I mean, it's the familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes.
So you're with, Julie and I've been married for 39 years now. And I don't know that I'm unusual or unique, but I do would tell you if you ask me that I notice her every day.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't happen with a lot of us.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm a superstar. I'm saying that I think that folks, you know, don't notice. Mm-hmm. You get up in the morning, they're there. Mm-hmm. Like a chair is there.
Yeah.
You know, you get in the car, you drive somewhere, and it's another part of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a great example of you taking a step back because you saw me. We had this nice big screen TV that we got recently.
Yeah, you look good. You looked good.
And it was nice and it made me feel good.
Yeah, good. So let's dive into our predictions for Taylor and Travis.
Go ahead.
So I sort of talked about this before, but I really like some of the things about their relationship, Taylor mm-hmm. and Travis. And one of the things is she knew nothing about football. And she learned a lot about football and he did not know a lot about the music industry and he learned a lot about the music industry. And I saw on a podcast that his podcast, they were talking about when she bought her music rights back
mm-hmm.
and she went and told him and she said that he was beyond excited, that there was tears in his eyes, that he was so excited. Like he really understood the depth of what that meant to her. And in the same way, she talked about, you know, him playing football and, you know, doing well and all of that. And what I saw in the relationship was a mutual respect and curiosity for the other person. So it's not just like, oh, yeah, Taylor's famous and she's great and she's the best and whatever. He really wanted to learn about her and learn about what it was like for her. And the same with her, with him playing football. And I think that the curiosity piece was so important and the respect piece sort of goes along with the curiosity because I think we sometimes get into the like we know best or we know it all and we don't want to like even, you know, we know people that never ask anything about us,
mm-hmm.
never ask anything about me.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of our friendships that we have, my best, you know, sort of most enriching friendships are with people that are curious about what you're doing. And it's not necessarily what we're doing in terms of podcasts and books and stuff like that. It's just like, hey, what are you meal prepping this week?
Right.
What, you know, oh, how did you make that, you know, tuna sandwich? That looks really good. And there's a few people in my life that I would say, you know, sort of like, know a lot of stuff, but they still ask you about yourself.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I think that Travis
gets you too.
Travis and Taylor have that.
So you think their likelihood is that they're going to make it? As you cough,
I do.
Cough it up.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. So first of all, let me address that. And curiosity about your partner or about your friends. Julie's coughing up a storm.
I'm sorry. Okay. We're going to have to edit this out.
Okay, that's all right. No, that's all right. We're not going to edit it out because it's who you are. But curiosity is, I think, an important part of any relationship, whether it's a partnership, a marriage, or
a friendship. Yeah.
And what I really appreciate, and I frankly think that I fail a lot of times on the other side of this fence, what I really appreciate are those friends of mine who not only ask the questions, mm-hmm. but really seem to be sincere about wanting to know the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of, how you doing? I'm good. How are you? Good. Done.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of never mention a thing, you know, where you could have won a gold medal and there's not a mention of it. And then you have these folks who are very curious, want to know how things are going, want to know how you're feeling, want to know mm-hmm. how did this go? How did that go?
Yeah.
And I really have tried, I want to say over the last several years to do better at that because I don't think I've been very good at that as a younger person.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of these two, statistically, you know, if you bet the odds, they're mm-hmm. not going to make it.
Yeah.
If you talk about what you have seen, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is 100% correct, it's also early.
Yeah.
And so,
and Taylor has not had any longer relationships than 10 years.
Well, 10 years is a long time, not in a lifetime, mm-hmm. but it's a long time for a relationship across the board. But curiosity, excuse me, now I'm going to get ready to cough. Curiosity can dull with time.
That's true.
And I do think that a really important part of any relationship is to be curious and be interested in what the other person is doing, has said, why, what, and wherefore.
Yeah. And if you respect your partner, then I think that's also important because if you're curious about what they tell you, then you're soaking it in, so to speak. So if I said to you like, hey, what do you think about, you know, like building a swimming pool?
Right.
And then you would have some, you know, some things to say about building a swimming pool. But if I really listened to you, if I already decided it was a bad idea to build a swimming pool and I wasn't listening to you, that would be not a great sign of in our relationship.
No question. And I think that as these folks go down the path, mm-hmm. It's going to become harder.
Yeah.
It's early in their relationship.
It is early.
It's early. I mean, we've been married 39 years. It took us a while to sort of get into this mm-hmm. yin and yang of things.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that we have the perfect relationship, but I think that we have a better recognition mm-hmm. now of those sorts of things. Now, mm-hmm. in terms of these two people, again, and I raised this the other day, you know, you can put on one hand the couples that you know, celebrity couples that you know, that have made it, mm-hmm. right? You know, you've got Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. Mm-hmm. You've got Kevin Bacon and Kara Sedgwick, if I pronounce her name right.
Paul Newman and his wife.
Right. But, you know, but there's not a ton.
Agreed. And the other thing sort of like, moving even past that, what connects people? Well, these people are about the same age, which is, I think, very helpful. They probably want to start a family, which I think is going to be helpful. So shared, you know, sort of goals and dreams and values are really important in relationships. And I think potentially, and I'm not saying, you know, 100%, but potentially they look on paper like they probably share a lot of values. Hard work, family seems to be very important for both of them, and building a family and a future together. So I think those things are good.
Those things are good. And here's some advice, Travis and Taylor, although we doubt that you will hear this, but we're going to give it to you anyway. And that is keep your relationship a box around a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of things that are out there that mm-hmm. people can see, but there should be a lot that people can't see. Keep that box around it. Keep those boundaries. And don't be jealous about what the other one has done. Be curious instead of jealous, or instead of feeling like one has accomplished this and I lost the Super Bowl, or I didn't, mm-hmm. that, you know, my numbers went down, or whatever the case may be.
But we wish you the best.
We
cheers to Travis and Taylor.
Cheers. folks, hope you enjoyed this episode where it's just Julie and myself, which I kind of enjoy. We're going to do some more of these just ourselves. We've had a lot of guests. Mm-hmm, we're going to continue to have them, but we're also going to do more just the two of us. Hope you enjoyed it. Please join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. And please subscribe if you're not a subscriber.
Yeah, do that. Please. See you next time. Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.